ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخ. أهلا،
كيف الحال؟
الحمد لله يا شيخ. نبدأ.
الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. أما بعد، our book is Kitab al-Kabair, the book regarding the major sins, by Al-Hafiz Abu Abdullah Muhammad ibn Ahmad al-Zahabi. We all refer to him as Al-Imam al-Zahabi, Rahimahullah. He has mentioned to us Al-Kabair, and he started with Al-Kabiratul Ula, Ash-Shirku Billahi Ta'ala. And in Al-Kabiratul Athaniyatu, the second Kabira amongst the Kabair, he mentioned Qatlun Nafs, killing a soul. In the Muqaddima of the book itself, Al-Imam al-Zahabi, Rahimahullah, because through a verse of the Quran, and that verse suffices as a muqaddima in itself, because the entirety of the muqaddima is based on it, and that is that statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nisa, in tajtanibu kaba'ira ma tunhawna anhu nukaffira ankum sayyi'atikum وَنُدْخِلْكُمْ مُدْخَلًا كَرِيمًا إِنْ تَجْتَنِبُوا كَبَائِرَ مَا تُنْهَوْنَ عَنْهُ نُكَفِّرْ عَنْكُمْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ وَنُدْخِلْكُمْ مُدْخَلًا كَرِيمًا إِنْ تَجْتَنِبُوا كَبَائِرَ مَا تُنْهَوْنَ عَنْهُ If you avoid the kabair, from those things that we have prohibited you, if you avoid those of them that are from the kaba'ir, nukaffir ankum sayyi'atikum, we will forgive you, I will forgive you those other minor sins, those sayyi'at, wa nudkhilkum mudkhalan karima, and I will grant you a honorable entrance into al-jannah. So like I've always repeated, if anyone asks us, why are we busy with studying Al-Kaba'ir? We say we are studying Al-Kaba'ir because we want to enter Al-Jannah. Allah has promised that, إِنْ تَجْتَنِبُوا كَبَائِرَ مَا تُنْهَوْنَ If you avoid the Kaba'ir, if you keep away from the Kaba'ir, if you stay away from the Kaba'ir, if you distance yourself from the Kaba'ir, نكفر عنكم سيئاتكم وندخلكم مدخلا كريما. And it is not possible for us to stay away from Al-Kabair unless we know the Kabair. So the first Kabira we discussed was Ashirku Billah, and the last class was busy with Al-Kabiratu Thaniya, which is Qatlun Nafs, taking a soul. The first verse we read was that verse in Surah An-Nisa also, where Allah said, وَمَنْ يَقْتُلْ مُؤْمِنًا مُتَعَمِّدًا فَجَزَاؤُهُ جَهَنَّمُ خَالِدًا فِيهَا وَغَضِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَلَعَنَهُ وَأَعَدَّ لَهُ عَذَابًا عَظِيمًا مَنْ يَقْتُلْ مُؤْمِنًا مُتَعَمِّدًا Any person who knowingly kills the life of a person of Iman. Man yaqtul mu'minan. Anyone who kills a person of Iman, muta'ammidan, knowingly, or he did that because that person comes from the people of Iman. Allah said, Fajaza'uhu jahannam. The reward for that action of his taking the life of a person of Iman is jahannam. Khalidan fiha, he will remain in Jahannam for a very, very long time. وغضب الله عليه. Allah will be displeased with him. Allah's anger will be upon him. ولعنه. Allah, his curse will be upon him. وأعد له عذابا عظيما. Allah has also prepared for him a very, very great, serious punishment. The second verse was that verse in Surah Al-Furqan. والذين لا يدعون مع الله إلها آخر ولا يقتلون النفس التي حرم الله إلا بالحق ولا يزنون ومن يفعل ذلك يلقى أثاما يضاعف له العذاب يوم القيامة ويخلد فيه مهانا إلا ما تاب وآمن. The second verse, الإمام Al-Dhahabi mentioned to show that qatlun nafsi, taking the life of a person, is from the kabair, is that verse in Surah Al-Furqan. وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَٰهًا آخَرَ. Allah mentions those who would not, لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ, they will not supplicate to or direct worship to any other deity together with Allah. ولا يقتلون النفس التي حرم الله إلا بالحق ولا يزنون. They would not also, لا يقتلون النفس, they would not take the life of a person, of a human being, التي حرم الله, the life that Allah has made haram to be taken. Allah has made it haram. ولا تقتلوا أنفسكم. Do not kill yourselves. La taqtulu anfusakum. This verse means that the individual should not commit suicide. La taqtulu anfusakum. It also means that he should not commit murder. Allah says wala taqtulu anfusakum. So wala taqtuluna an-nafsa wala yaqtuluna an-nafsa allati harrama Allah. Allah has made qatlun nafs haram. So the people of Iman, Ibadur Rahman, they will not do that. Wala yaznun. They will not also commit zina. But here it said, illa bil haqqi, we explained in the last class. What are the rights? What are those things for which a person's life may be taken by right, by the authorities of Islam? We mentioned about four things. As-sayyib al-zani, a matured male or female who has become married and has had sexual intercourse in the marriage, who then now commits zina. Anybody who does that, it is a capital offense, and the capital punishment will be met to such an adulterous individual. May Allah protect us. The second person was an-nafsu bin-nafs. The case of an-nafsu bin-nafs is the case of a person who commits murder. If a person kills another person, there is qisas, there's retaliation against him. The third case is at-tariku li-dinihi. Al-mufariqu lil-jama'ah, at-tariqu li-dinihi, is a person who abandons Islam. The capital punishment will be met to him. The fourth group of people are those that Allah mentioned in Surah Al-Ma'idah. Innama jaza'u alladhina yuharibuna Allah wa rasulahu wa yas'una fil ardi fasadan an yuqattalu aw yusallabu. How to cut to him. A lot of people will fall under this category, like armed robbers, like drug pushers, and all others. The annahum yas'auna fil ardi fasada. Likewise, those who abuse and insult the Prophet Muhammad will also fall under this category. Why? They fall under alladhina yuharibuna Allah wa rasulahu wa yas'auna fil ardi fasada. So this is where these people fall under. Yet these people, we explained in the last class, they are to be handed over to constituted authority. The third verse we read regarding Qatlun Nafs or cause in Suratul Ma'idah, when Allah said, Man qatala nafsan bighayri nafsin aw fasadin fil ardi faka'annama qatala an-nasa jami'a. Anyone qatala nafsan bighayri nafsin. If you take the life of a person, you are not taking his life because he had killed somebody. You are not taking his life out of retaliation. The man was just there innocent, and then you take his life. Aw fasadin fil ardi. Or those who cause evil on the surface of the earth, such as drug pushers and the like of them. Allah said, Faka annama qatala an-nasa jami'a. They are like those who kill the entirety of human beings. Whatever makes you become so confident to take the life of another person, you can take life another one. You can take another one. That's why when a person kills another person, commits murder, they should also be allowed to face the capital punishment. Otherwise, they begin to do it again and again and again, as if they have killed the entirety of the human beings. May Allah protect us from this evil. The fourth verse, Al-Imam al-Dhahabi, cited under Al-Kabira al-Thaniya, was that verse in Surah al-Takwir. وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ الْمَوْءُودَةُ. They are young girls who, in the times before Islam, they used to be buried alive. Arabs hated to have girls as children for two reasons. The first reason is that they believe that girls will share from their wealth, eat from their food, but they will not work with them to earn. So they hated to have girls. The second reason they hated girls was they felt that men to have boys is a thing of pride in the society. It shows power, it shows strength, it showed energy. Because the society was a society without authority, without constituted authority. It was a society of a wilderness where the stronger you are, the more you are able to oppress anybody. So they wanted male children by way of seeking protection for them, from themselves, and by way of being able to aggress whenever there was need for aggression. So they took pride in having male children, and they did not like having female children. So whenever they have a female child, some of them, because some of the scholars of Tafsir explain that practice itself was not the practice of the noble people in the society. The noble people in the society did not bury their girls alive. The noble people in the society did not bury their girls alive. It was the downtrodden, the less important people in the society at that time who used to do it. It was not something that honorable people did. In fact, they cited one of the grandparents of Al-Farazdak, one of the scholars of Arabic grammar and poetry, because one of his grandparents, in fact, would purchase such girls alive. Instead of burying them, he would say, let me give you money, give me the girl. And he did that in about over 70 cases. And that his grandchild used to sing a poetry regarding that by way of praising his grandparents. That when people went below bar, were burying their girls alive, his own grandparents were buying those girls so that they can live under their own care, under their attention, and they can grow up as people rather than being buried alive. So al-maw'udatu are those girls who were buried alive. Arabs used to fear that they will share from their food, they will share from their wealth, and there's nothing they will get from them. So Allah said, these children that you bury alive, su'ilat Allah will ask them on the day of Qiyam, bi ayyi dhanbin kutilat? Well, why were you killed? What was your sin? He will ask those girls, what was your sin for which you were killed? That is by way of making the person who committed that murder be ready for the troubles of the murder. So the one who was murdered will be the one that Allah will ask. Just like he will ask Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, أَأَنْتَ قُلْتَ لِلنَّاسِ اتَّخِذُونِ وَأُمِّيَ إِلَهَيْنِ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ. It was not Isa alayhi salam that told the people to worship him besides Allah. It was the people who chose to worship Isa. So the Isa who was worshipped will be asked, were you the one who told them to worship you? So the same way, the children who were buried alive, Allah will ask them, what did you do? That is by way of making the one who did it understand that he was in trouble on the day of Qiyamah. So the one against whom the crime was committed will be, what was your crime? I didn't have any crime. So at that, the one who committed the crime will know that he or she is in trouble. Yes, even though there is kira'a of that, وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سَأَلَتْ, there is kira'a, which would mean that it is the girl who was buried that will be asking those who buried her, بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ كُتِلَتْ, what was her sin for which she was buried alive. In either of the cases, on the day of Qiyamah, children who were buried alive, they will ask those who buried them alive, Bismillah. They too will be asked. So it's like saying, if they are asked, they will now ask those who buried them alive. The girls will be asked, وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ, those who were buried alive will be asked, بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ, what was the sin for which they were killed? They will now ask those who buried them alive, بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قَتَلْتَنِي, what was my sin for which you killed me? So this is from the miracles of the Quran. One expression will give us various meanings, more so when we begin to bring qira'at into it. So the girls will be asked, they in turn will ask those who had buried them alive. May Allah protect all of us from this evil. The next group of evidences were a hadith from the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Al-Imam al-Zahabi, under this chapter, he has mentioned about 15 ahadith that makes us understand that qatlun nafs is very grievous and serious as an offense, taking the life of a person. Ikhwa, taking the life of a person is a grievous sin. Taking the life of a human being is a grievous sin. The sin is worse if the person whose life was taken is a person of iman, a Muslim. It is more serious in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, اجتنبوا السبع الموبقات, اجتنبوا السبع الموبقات. O people, avoid السبع الموبقات, the seven موبقات, مهلكات, seven things that will destroy you. Avoid them. Seven things destroy people. Avoid them. The first thing that he mentioned is ashirku billah, and we have discussed it. Al-Imam al-Zahabi said, فَذَكَرَ قَتْلَ النَّفْسِ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهِ. Then Allah mentioned قَتْلُ النَّفْسِ. So after ashirku billah, one of the sins that will destroy a human being, it will not only destroy you in this dunya, it will destroy you in akhirah. It will put you into trouble. Even after tawbah, you have questions to ask, to be asked. Even after tawbah on the day of Qiyamah, there are questions that you will ask. Because At-Tawbah will take away Haqqullah from you. So it is remaining Haqqul Maqtul and Haqqu Awliya il Maqtul. You will still be asked questions on the day of Qiyamah if you deliberately kill a person. May Allah protect us. So the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, ijtanibu as-sab'a al-mubiqat, avoid the seven muhlikat, seven things that destroy. Fadhakara qatla nafsi allati harram Allah. And thereupon, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned qatlu nafs, killing a soul, killing a life. The man was alive, you killed him. The woman was alive, you killed him. The young boy was alive, you stabbed him to death. The man was alive, you macheted him. You shot him with a gun. You killed her. All of these means by which people do all of these. It is trouble, ikhwa, on the day of Qiyamah and trouble in this dunya. Why? Qatlu nafs is muhlikun aw muhlikatun. It is something that is destructive. It will destroy the murderer and it will destroy his akhirah. And that is why everybody has to run away from these evils. Run away from these evils. May Allah protect all of us. The hadith that follows that is the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu. That one occurs on the next page. I hope that our brothers in charge of the screen will change to the next page. That occurs as hadith number 9. Al-Imam al-Zahabi said, rahimahullah, wa qala alayhi salatu wassalam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam also said, wa qad su'ila ayyu dhanbi a'zamu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, su'ila ayyu dhanbi a'zamu, which of the sins is most grievous? That question was asked by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu. He was sitting with the Prophet. He became alone with the Prophet. People had left them. He said, let me quickly use this opportunity to ask the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam a question. And the question that he asked was, ayyu dhanbi a'zamu, which one amongst the sins is most grievous, is most serious, and is most destructive? Qal, the Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أن تجعل لله ندا وهو خلقك. أن تجعل لله ندا. The most serious, the most grievous sin is أن تجعل لله ندا. That you place an equal, that you place an associate, a partner with Allah in His worship, subhanahu wa ta'ala. You worship that person as you worship Allah, or you worship that person in a manner that Allah alone deserves to be worshipped like that. وَهُوَ خَلَقَكَ. While it was Allah that has created you alone, you direct worship to somebody else or to something else when you were just created by Allah alone. That was why in many places in the Quran, Allah will say, Ma ashhadtuhum khalqa samawati wal ard. Those things people worship besides me. Were they witnesses? Were they there when I was creating my creatures? So if they were not there, why should they be worshipped together with me when I was alone who made my creatures? I made them for myself that they should worship me. So it is from the evils of worst category that antaj'ala lillahi niddan wa huwa khalaqaka. You place an equal with Allah, a partner with Allah, wa huwa, when the truth is that, when the condition proper is that it was Allah alone who created you. in the reports of this hadith, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, Qultu lahu inna dhalika la'azim. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu said to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he told him about shirk as the worst of sins, he said, inna dhalika la'azim. Look at the tawkidat. Certainly, dhalik in this case is also from the aspects of showing tawkid, because it mentions shirk as something that should far away, something distant that nobody should come near. And then he brought this lam again. Inna dhalika la'azim. It is something that is really, really serious. What is that? An taj'ala lillahi niddan wa huwa khalaqaka. That you bring a partner, an equal, an associate in worship with Allah when it was Allah that created you. May Allah protect us. Ibn Mas'ud understood what it meant. After all, he had been with the people before the Prophet came with At-Tawheed, alayhi salatu wasalam. So he understands shirk, radiyallahu anhu. So he said, Thumma ayu, after shirk, what is next from the sins that are most grievous before Allah? Then the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, An taqtula waladaka khashyata an yut'ama ma'ak. An taqtula waladak khashyata an yut'ama ma'ak. The second most grievous sin, ayuhal ikhwa, is that an taqtula waladak, that you kill your children. Waladuka is mufradun mudaf. So if I say that you kill your children, I am not making a mistake. That you kill your child or that you kill your children. Khashyata an yut'ama ma'ak. Because you are afraid that that child will be fed together with you. In some riwayat, it says, Khashyata an yat'ama ma'ak. You are afraid that that child will be eating the same food you have. Your child will share your finances. You have your salary. You are afraid that if you have children, that child will be sharing in your miag resources. That is the reason why after you are pregnant with a child, you abort the child. You are afraid that the child will be sharing from your little resources, as you call it. This one is a big sin with Allah. It is still from the aspects of murder in Islam. From the aspects of murder, ayyuhal ikhwa, in our religion, akramakumullah, may Allah protect us and honor all of us. Ikhwa, run away. Your wife became pregnant first, second month, and then you tell her to abort. Why? You cannot take care of pregnancy. This is you that Allah is talking to. You are from the killers. You are from the murderers. You that your child is in the womb and you stopped his process of life or her process of life. You wickedly went to the hospital to destroy that life. You are from the criminals that you must understand. May Allah protect us. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu asked the Prophet, Thumma ayu, after shirk, what is the next worst crime? The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, An taqtula waladaka. In some riwayat, it said, Makhafata an yat'ama ma'ak. You are afraid that he will share from your resources, and Allah had assured you. Allah said, وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ مِنْ عِمْلَاقٍ لَا تَقْتُلُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ مِنْ عِمْلَاقٍ. Don't let your imlaq, poverty, faqru, don't let it make you kill your children. Whether those children have come into being on the earth or they are just in the womb waiting to come on the earth, the fact is that they are already given to you as children. So as long as the children have become a child, you know there is a pregnancy, there's a child in the womb, or that the child is already born into life. We have seen people doing the two. when we were younger than this, we used to see people deliver a baby, they throw the baby in dustbins. I have seen one with my eyes when I was much, much younger, and we saw the girl, young. It was still alive. It was picked up by the state government then from the dustbin. People do this. Allah says, La taqtulu awladakum min imlaq. Do not kill your children because you are presently poor. Because you are presently a poor man, don't let that push you to kill your child. In another place, Allah says, Wala taqtulu awladakum khashiyat imlaq. Don't kill your child. Now you are not poor. You are just afraid that if you have those children, it can lead you to poverty. Unfortunately, this is what many agencies now do. They make people become afraid. Some of them may even encourage you to kill your children in an abortion. This one has led many women to, they have taken to a lot of pregnancy preventive measures. Because they are just, the reason is that they don't want to share their resources with their children. As long as this is the reason, it is unlawful. If it makes you kill a child, then you are a criminal. Allah said, Wala taqtulu awladakum min imlaq. Elsewhere he said, Wala taqtulu awladakum khashiyata al-imlaq. Khashiyata imlaq. Whether you are poor now, don't kill your child. Whether you have some things now, but you are afraid that if you have many children, you will become poor, don't let that push you to kill your children. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the second most serious, most grievous, most criminal sin is that an taqtula waladak, is for you to kill your child, khashiyata an yut'ama ma'ak, out of the fear that as you are fed, he is fed, you are fed, he is fed. That can lead you to poverty. When you now kill that child, you are a criminal. It is from the aspects of qatlun nafs, taking a soul. May Allah protect us. It is common now, especially in the name of abortion. Some women even go to abort out of adultery and out of fornication. That one is worse. You have two serious sins now on your head. You have the sin of fornication or the sin of adultery, and then you have the sin of taking a soul. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. You commit adultery or you commit fornication, you are firstly a criminal, and then you kill a soul, it worsens the crime. Each of them is serious enough to destroy the individual in his life and his hereafter. So you see now that kaba'ir are things that we must run away from. Nobody will commit these kaba'ir except the person is truly, truly a criminal. Ikhwa, let's not forget, from the things we mentioned is that we are reminding ourselves about these, so that anyone who had ever fallen into them, we raise towards at-tawbah. Don't forget, we mentioned in the muqaddimah that one of the points in this book is that inna Allaha wasi'ul maghfira. So whether you have committed qatlun nafs or you have committed a shirk, Allah will forgive you if you make tawbah. So the most serious sins, the first one is ashirku billah. The second one is an taqtula waladaka khashiyata an yut'ama ma'ak. The second major sin is that you kill your child because you don't want him to share from your little resources, as you call it. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu asked the Prophet again, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, thumma ayyu, then after qatlun nafs, what is the next most serious sin? The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أن تزاني حليلة جارك، أن تزاني حليلة جارك. The third most serious sin is that أن تزاني، that you commit zina with who? حليلة جارك. حليلة فعيلة كو، and that expression refers to a person who is the halal of your neighbor. What does that mean? The halal of your neighbor is the wife of your neighbor. Somebody is resident with you as your neighbor. He has the right to be protected as a neighbor. Even in the Arabs, in the era of the Arabs before Islam, in the days of Jahiliyyah, the Arabs protect the wives of their neighbors. They have many poems regarding that, that shows the importance of protecting the honor of the wife of your neighbor, because they are exposed, they are vulnerable. You know them, you see them, you see they go out, they come in. One of the Arabs say, وَأَغُضُّ طَرْفِي مَا بَدَتْ لِي جَارَتِي، أَغُضُّ طَرْفِي وَأَغُضُّ طَرْفِي مَا بَدَتْ لِي جَارَتِي حَتَّى يُوَارِيَ جَارَتِي مَأْوَاهَا، وَأَغُضُّ طَرْفِي I will lower my gaze, my glance، مَا بَدَتْ لِي جَارَتِي، for as long as my female neighbor, the wife of my neighbor, she's in a place where I can see her, I will ever lower my gaze. Hatta until you wari ya jarati ma'waha, until my female neighbor, the wife of my neighbor, goes into her ma'wa. We have told us what is ma'wa, a place of rest and stay, meaning once I see my neighbor passing, I remove my eyes. So one of the worst sins amongst the Arabs is that a person now begins to spoil this woman. You begin to talk to her until you are able to remove her attention from her husband to yourself. So she pays attention to you. Afsadtaha ala zawjiha. You have destroyed her for her husband. That is your first sin. And then you commit zina with her. And then you make her become used to that evil. There are so many sins the scholars connected to this. So it's not just zina. One of the scholars says zina can be as so bad depending on the person who did it. Look at As-Sayyib. A woman who is married or a man who is married, the zina is different from a young boy or girl who have not married. So you see, zina can be serious depending on who committed it. Zina can be serious depending on man fu ila bihi, the person on whom it was done. If it was done on a woman, it's different from it was if it was done on your qariba, maybe your relative. May Allah protect. Imagine a man commits zina with his daughter. How is that? And that was why when the Prophet was describing the evil of consuming riba, he compared it to a man committing zina with his mother. So you can see, zina can also be as bad depending on the person to whom it was done. Zina will be bad depending on the person doing it. It will tell us the level of evil it is. Then the person to whom it was done, then the place where it was done, the time it was done, ikhwa. Look at zina in Ramadan. It's not like zina outside Ramadan. The place, look at zina in Makkah. It is not like in any other place. So the more these things become involved, the more grievous it is. So one of the worst forms of zina is, may Allah protect all of us, and to zaniya, halila tajarika, that a person commits this evil with the wife of his neighbor. So, but the point of reference why this hadith was brought here, because we'll still be coming to zina as from the kaba'ir. Here we are talking about what? Qatlun nafs. It is the second most serious sin. Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ayyu dhanbi a'zamu inda Allah? Which of the sins is worse, most grievous in the sight of Allah? The Prophet answered alayhi salatu wa sallam, an taj'ala lillahi niddan wa huwa khalaqaka. It is for you to join, to associate, to place a partner with Allah when it was Allah who created you. He does not deserve a partner. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Summa ayyu. Ibn Mas'udin asks, then which one? Then the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wa salam, an taqtula waladaka khashyata an yut'ama ma'ak. The second most grievous sin, ayyuhan nas, is that an taqtula waladak, for you to kill your child, male or female, khashyata an yut'ama ma'ak, because you are afraid that he will share from your food. He will share from your resources. He will share from your salary. So you know, I will only give birth to a child that I can take care of. That was why you aborted that pregnancy. You are also a killer, you're a murderer. May Allah protect all of us. Then he asked him again, Summa ayyu. Then after that, which one? The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, antu zaniya halila tajarika. That a person commits zina with the wife of his neighbor. That hadith is the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, and it occurs in Sahih al-Bukhari and Muslim. The next hadith that Al-Imam al-Zahabi cited to make us understand the evil of Qatlun Nafs is the hadith that was reported by Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so Al-Imam al-Zahabi said, وَقَالَ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِذَا الْتَقَى الْمُسْلِمَانِ بِسَيْفَيْهِمَا فَالْقَاتِلُ وَالْمَقْتُولُ فِي النَّارِ كِلَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ هَذَا الْقَاتِلُ فَمَا بَالُ الْمَقْتُولِ قَالَ إِنَّهُ كَانَ حَرِيصًا عَلَى قَتْلِ صَاحِبِهِ. Al-Imam al-Zahabi cited this hadith. That hadith occurs also in Bukhari and Muslim. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, إِذَا الْتَقَى الْمُسْلِمَانِ بِسَيْفَيْهِمَا, when two Muslims, إِلْتَقَى, they face themselves, بِسَيْفَيْهِمَا, with their swords. Each of them has a sword in his hands. May Allah protect us. These days, you see, one Muslim belongs to one political party. The other Muslim belongs to another political party. They are acting as dogs for parties. During elections, you see people face themselves. One Muslim with another Muslim, with swords on both sides. They are fighting not for them to be leaders. They are fighting for some people to be leaders. That is why you take a sword against your brother. May Allah protect all of us. إِذَا الْتَقَى الْمُسْلِمَانِ بِسَيْفَيْهِمَا فَالْقَاتِلُ وَالْمَقْتُولُ فِي النَّارِ. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, when two Muslims face them this, فَالْقَاتِلُ, the one who killed the other one, وَالْمَقْتُولُ, and the one who was killed, the two of them will be in Jahannam. فَالْقَاتِلُ وَالْمَقْتُولُ فِي النَّارِ, the one who killed, وَالْمَقْتُولُ, and the one who was killed, فِي النَّارِ. The Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, he gave them that the punishment for their sin is fire. The companions, radiyallahu anhum, they usually ask these questions so that they can keep away. So that they can keep away. When they ask, they are asking to keep away. Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu asked the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, Kila, The Prophet was asked, alayhi salatu wasalam, Ya Rasulallah, O Messenger of Allah, Ahadha al-Qatil, this is the person who has killed. We understand that one. Fama balul maqtul. How about the one who was killed? How does he become also min ahli nar? How does he also become from the people who will enter the fire? The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, Innahu kana harisan ala qatli sahibihi. He also kana harisa. He was also making efforts. He was also making some efforts to do what? Ala qatli sahibihi. He was also making efforts to kill the other person. But he ended up being killed. The two of them are guilty of the offense of murder. In another expression, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, innahu qad arada Al-Azima. All of these are sufficient to make a person avoid this evil of taking the life of a person. And anybody who has ever done it before, my dear brother, go and seek serious tawbah from Allah. There's no way out without tawbah. Go and look for good means of tawbah. Go and look for tawbah, sound tawbah, tawbatan nasuha, and then increase in your good deeds. If it has ever happened that the life of a person has been lost from your hand, go and start looking for good tawbah. The hadith we just read occurs in Bukhari and Muslim. In the hadith that followed it, Al-Imam al-Zahabi said, rahimahullah, وَقَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ The Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم also said, لَا يَزَالُ الْمَرْءُ فِي فُصْحَةٍ مِنْ دِينِهِ مَا لَمْ يَتَنَدَّ بِدَمٍ حَرَامٍ مَا لَمْ يَتَنَدَّ بِدَمٍ حَرَامٍ لَا يَزَالُ الْمَرْءُ فِي Fushatin min dinihi. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, and this hadith is from the hadith of the companion radiallahu anhu. It's from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma. I think Amr ibn al-As also has a riwayah of that hadith. A number of the companions have reported it. لا يزال المرء في فسحة من دينه. The individual will continue to be upon vast favor from Allah. He will continue to enjoy in his religion. He will be managing himself here and there in his religion. لا يزال المرء في فسحة من دينه. He will be going forth and backwards in his religion, observing his salah, fasting Ramadan, paying zakah if he's able, going for umrah, attending programs, attending madrasa, taking care of his wife, taking care of his children. You see this kind of freedom that he's enjoying. That is how he will be. مَا لَمْ يَتَنَدَّ بِدَمٍ حَرَامٍ حَرَامٍ As long as لَمْ يَتَنَدَّ As long as his hand is not become wet. With what? بِدَمٍ حَرَامٍ With blood that is haram. As long as your hand is not wet from haram blood, أَنْتَ فِي فُسْحَةٍ فِي دِينِكَ You have a lot of space You have a lot of chance inside your religion, chance to do well, chance to even make mistakes sometimes and quickly correct the mistakes. These are chances. But once you have a blood on your neck, it is a problem for that individual. May Almighty Allah protect all of us. This hadith occurs in the Musnad of Al-Imam Ahmad. It also occurs in Sunan al-Tirmidhi by Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, لا يزال المرء في فصحة من دينه ما لم يتندى بدم حرام. The individual will continue to be upon openness, freedom, free chance, vast opportunities in his religion, as long as lam yatanadda bidamin haramin, he has not gotten wet, blood has not touched his body from another person's life. When you have not, if you are free like this, brother, enjoy your freedom. Never let it happen that someone else's blood comes out from your own hand. And don't forget when it says, وَلَا تَقْتُلُ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. He has told us what is al-haq. We've told us about that. We have about four groups of things. An adult who commits zina. If they commit zina and the government, after trial, says the person should be stoned to death, the government will do and prepare how that person will be stoned to death according to the laws of the Sharia. So, az-zani wa zaniyatu, as-sayyibu zani. The second one is an-nafsu bin-nafsi. A person kills one person, if he killed in retaliation, the government will hold the person who commits murder. Appropriate steps will be taken. The person will be killed. The third one, at-tariku lidinihi, the one who abandons Islam. Al-mufariku lil-jama'a, when he abandons Islam, he abandons the rest of the Muslims. That is a capital offense. He rose in insurgency against the rest of the Muslims. So it's a capital offense. The other ones, a group of people. Innama, like we told us, Allah mentioned them in Surah Al-Ma'idah. الَّذِينَ يُحَارِبُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ يَسْأَوْنَ فِي الْأَرْضِ فَسَادًا. They go to war, they declare war against Allah, war against the Prophet Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام, and then they spread evils on the surface of the earth. This one will involve armed robbers. It will involve drug pushers who may be sentenced to death. It will involve those who abuse the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It may involve those who abuse Allah and commit blasphemy and the like of that. They are all a group of people under that verse. May Allah protect all of us. So the individual, apart from getting involved, maybe is now a staff of the prisons who will be in charge of taking the life of these groups of people. Or that he's part of the Muslims who stoned an adulterous male or female to death. This is lawful. But outside these ones, as we have described it, if you take the life of a person, you are in trouble. May Allah protect all of us. The next hadith, in all of these, Al-Imam al-Zahabi wants us to understand the gravity of qatlun nafs, taking a soul, killing a soul, is a very, very serious offense from the kabair. It will prevent the person who does it from al-Jannah. So if you want to enter al-Jannah, you must avoid it. Allah told us, we've read that verse repeatedly, إِن تَجْتَنِبُوا كَبَائِرَ مَا تُنْهَوْنَ عَنْهُ نُكَفِّرُ عَنْكُمْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ وَنُدَخِلْكُمْ مُدْخَلًا كَرِيمًا. If you avoid تَجْتَنِبُ كَبَائِرَ مَا تُنْهَوْنَ عَنْهُ, if you avoid this kabair, you enter al-Jannah. So we are saying it so that we can avoid it. If we avoid it, bismillah, we hope for Allah's al-Jannah. In hadith number 12, in page 96 on our screen. Al-Imam al-Dhahabi said, rahimahullah, telling us more, giving us more ahadith about the evil of taking the life of a person. And that's why when we read these ahadith, when Christians say that our Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam was bloodthirsty, I say, what are you saying? This man who prohibited us taking the life of people, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is he the one that you are saying that he spread his religion with a sword? You only have four conditions that can make you take the life of a person. And you are not the one to do that. Constituted authority will do that. Are all capital offenses in a country just less than four groups, four things? Someone commits adultery, male or female. Someone kills a person, male or female. Then someone abandons the religion and carries war against the rest of the country, against the rest of the people. And then this other group, armed robbers, drug pushers, those who commit blasphemy, and just these four groups of things, their offense is capital. Is this the religion that you are saying that was spread by spilling blood? This one that prohibits taking the life of people in various angles. Is that the messenger you are talking about? Hear what he said again, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. La tarji'u, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam. This hadith was reported by Jarir ibn Abdullah al-Bajali, radiyallahu anhu, Yusuf al-Ummah. Jarir ibn Abdullah was one of those who accepted Islam less than 1 year before the Prophet died, alayhi salatu wasalam. His Islam was about 1 year, less than 1 year, about 6 to 7 months after he accepted Islam, the Prophet died. Why are we saying this? For us to know that it was a regular thing the Prophet was saying. If you came into Islam today, you'll understand that the Prophet hated that people should take the life of people. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wa sallam, La tarji'u ba'di kufara, yadribu ba'dukum riqaba ba'd. La tarji'u ba'di kufara. O Muslims, la tarji'u ba'di kufara. Don't go back after I have died. Don't go back to the ways of the people of kufr. Don't behave like the people of kufr. What is the way of the people of kufr? They are always taking the life of people. Dear brothers and sisters, one of the reasons why taking lives is common in our own society is that idol worship is also common. When idol worship is common, taking the life of people will be common. Wherever there is kufr and shirk predominant, qatlun nafs too goes predominant. When young people begin to look for money, what do? Is there anything they do regarding cultism and occultic practices that removes taking the life of people? When shirk is predominant, qatlun nafs becomes predominant. They follow themselves. May Allah protect all of us. So that was why the Prophet warned the people of Islam. La tarji'u ba'di kufara. Don't become, after I have died, behaving like the people of kufr. Don't go back to their behaviors. Don't be like them. Don't turn to become kufar. How? Ulama said kufr here is al-kufrun duna kufr. He's not saying that once a Muslim kills another Muslim, he has become a kafir. No. But to go on taking the lives of people without haqq, without the right, as we have explained, it is from the way of the people of kufr. Don't do that. So he brought it of Syria. What was that? Yadribu ba'dukum riqaba ba'd. You go on, begin to kill yourselves. ضرب الرقاب, cutting your necks, this one kill this one, this one kill this one. Don't behave like that, the way kuffar behave. Don't go back to that lifestyle again. So meaning that Islam was a religion that really takes care of the life of the human being. Look at the Quran says, if you take the life of a person, faka annama qatala an-nasa jamia. Is this the religion that you say they spread it because they were just killing people? The Prophet warned against taking the life of the people. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. La tarji'u ba'di kuffara. O Muslims. He warned his companions. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Don't return to the way of the people of kufr. What were they doing? Yadribu ba'dukum riqaba ba'd. For you to now, a group of you begin to take cut the necks. It was expressive. A group of you begin to cut the necks of another group. La tarji'u kuffara ba'di. Don't go back to that. He called it kufr because it's a serious offense. Some scholars say because it easily leads to kufr. Some say the kufr referred to here is kufr and do not kufr. He mentioned something similar to that in Surah Al-Hujurat. So taking the life of a person, the point in these ahadith, is a serious offense. It is from the kabair. It will prevent you from Al-Jannah and it will bring you into Jahannam unless you make sound tawbah and keep away from it. So that's why we say the verse, in tajtanibu kaba'ira ma tunhawn, if you avoid kabair, you will enter Al-Jannah. Nukaffir ankum sayyi'atikum wa nudkhilkum mudkhalan karima. So you have seen kabair. The second kabira from the second from amongst the kabair, or the second kabira we have mentioned, is what? Qatlun nafsi. We still have a few more ahadith, bi'idhnillah, we'll look at in the subsequent class. I wish that our government goes about announcing these ahadith to people so that it will reduce qatlun nafs and these kinds of banditry, insurgency, insecurity, kidnapping, and all of these in our own society. When people know how much Allah has frowned at these evils, qatlun nafs, it's a serious offense with Allah. Even if you make tawbah, you are still in trouble. Because there are three things connected to it. The first one is haq, Allah's right. The soul you have taken belongs to Allah. And He has prohibited you from taking a soul. You have violated that haq. So if you make tawbah, He will forgive you. But it remains haqqul maqtul, the one that you have killed. He has a right to life. He has a right to live. But you killed that person. The third one is haqqu awliya il maqtul, the right of the relatives of the person that you have killed. So you see, killing a person is a serious matter. Killing a person is a very serious. If it has ever happened in your hands, go back to tawbah. It is still the best thing you have. May Allah protect all of us. Keep us away from this evil. Can we have one or two questions about the Rahman?
Amin wa iyyakum Aba Amir. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Now, the first question reads, Jazakumullahu khairan Shaykhana. Please, I have questions regarding taking a life. If a person takes the life of someone who wants to steal from him, is that right? Also, is the government free to take lives without good reasons of life for life?
It is a valid reason. Well, the first question, Sharia encourages us to protect our property. And it encourages us to fight those who want to usurp our property. But just like we all know, somebody should not hold a stick and you are holding a gun. You are now saying that you want to protect yourself. That's beyond protecting yourself. He has a stick, you have a gun. He has a stick, you have a gun. He has a machete, you have a bomb. So let it not be that upon the slightest excuse you took a soul. Let it be upon proper self-defense. You are really, really in danger. He has a gun. Aha, you can fire a gun before he fires his own. If it is this kind of a case, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he encouraged us to protect ourselves like this. He said, if he kills you, you are a shaheed, a martyr. If you kill him, he will be in Jahannam. He will be in the fire. So our religion encourages us on self-defense, but don't forget the explanations connected to it. Don't let it be that somebody just even knocked your door 2 a.m. in the night. You pick a gun and you fire that person. The person might even be your visitor who was held back in traffic in Lagos. And then you say, oh, because he knocked your door, you were afraid. You have a gun, you fire the person. No, you would have killed a soul. So let it be there that there was true threat to your life before you do things like that. May Allah protect us. The second question was about can government expand the frontiers of capital punishment? If it is a Sharia government, if it's a government of Sharia, or a government that is not of Sharia, but it is borrowing this part of Sharia, it can be useful. They will seek judicial advice from the scholars, depending on the particular issue you are talking about. I give you an example. Like a person who wants to topple the government, maybe they committed a coup or the like of that, can they be killed according to the laws of Islam? Can they? Yes. The Sharia encourages that people like that or legislates that people like that may be killed. Salat wa salam, that man atakum wa amrukum jam'un inda ahadin minkum. Anyone who comes to you when your affairs is in the hand of one person, one of you, he says, faqtuluhu, he says, kill that second person. So if the country is under a rule, the other one commits a coup. Yes, we still have a rule in the Sharia that people who attempt to topple a government may be killed. So Islam still allows that. So there are particular cases like that, if you give examples. Like young people used to speak against the capital punishment for drug pushers. Say that's verse in the Quran. Many scholars use it. That وَيَسْعَوْنَ فِي الْأَرْضِ فَسَادًا إِنَّمَا جَزَاءُ الَّذِينَ يُحَارِبُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. Many countries in the world, both Islamic and non-Islamic, that is the law they have adopted. Drug pushing is a capital offense. So like that, so it depends on the case. It will find a place in the Sharia one way or the other. If it does not find a place, then it is not lawful to make it a capital punishment. I hope that it is clear about the Rahman.
My question is, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. May Allah preserve our shaykh of goodness. Please, what is the case of the one who is in doubt as to whether he is responsible for the death of a soul or not? E.g., giving a sick person a medicine, then later realizing it expired even when the giver has been taking the medicine himself. What should such person do?
Well, Abba Amir, I did not hear the last part of your asking, but I think I can read. I saw that question. Well, if there is no clear cut, before we say a person was responsible for the death of another person, there will be clear cut link between that person and the death of the second person, clear cut link. So if it's about doubt, you may just increase in good deeds. You may just increase in sadaqat. You may just increase in fasting and the likes of these, because there's no clear cut evidence connecting you to the death of the person. So just be sure that you do a lot of good deeds, bismillah. May Allah protect all of us from this evil. Never make the life of a person go away from our own hands. Ameen. Someone is asking the line of poem regarding our neighbors. It says that وَأَغُضُّ طَرْفِي مَا بَدَتْ لِي جَارَتِي وَأَغُضُّ طَرْفِي مَا بَدَتْ لِي جَارَتِي وَأَغُضُّ طَرْفِي مَا بَدَتْ لِي جَارَتِي حَتَّى يُوَارِيَ جَارَتِي مَأْوَاهَا حَتَّى يواري يا جورة جارتي ما أواها أغض طرفي أو اللوا my gaze my sight ما بدت لي جارتي. For as long as my neighbor is can be seen by me, as long as I can see her, I'll put away my sight away from her. Hatta until yuwari ajarati ma'waha, until the wife of my neighbor yuwari becomes covered up by her residence, meaning until she enters into her residence, I will not look at her. Brothers, this is one lesson here, is that don't go and start trying to become unnecessarily familiar with the wife of your neighbor. If you are unnecessarily familiar with her, you will not be able to keep off your glance from her. And shaitan usually starts the evil from looking at her. The evil starts from looking. And that was why the Sharia prohibited looking. It says, وَكُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُ فُرُوجَهُمْ. Look at what he connected, looking and preserving your chastity. If you look, if you are not careful, you will destroy your chastity. But if you keep away from looking, Allah will help you to protect your chastity. So that poem said, وَأَغُضُّ طَرْفِي مَا بَدَتْ لِي جَارَتِي Hatta yuwari ajarati ma'waha. I hope that it is clear. The second question the person asked, are artificial nails and eyelashes accepted in Islam? They are not acceptable. Wigs, artificial nails, artificial eyelashes, toning your skin, all these are from the aspects of changing the things that Allah has created. Allah didn't create you like that. Allah didn't create you. And our religion commands us to keep a clean finger. You must not keep your finger as a Muslim for 40 days without cutting it. 40 days must not go past you, as in the hadith of Abu Huraira and Bukhari and Muslim. 40 days must not go past without cutting your fingernails. 40 days must not go past without shaving your pubes. So these are restrictions the Sharia has given us. So likewise, the eyelashes. Unfortunately, we have known that these things now cause evil. Some people have gone blind because they were trying to fix eyelashes. So keep away from it. It is from the gimmicks of Shaitan on people. He promised to make them do things like this. So don't change what Allah has placed on you. Don't even pretend it. Leave it like that. So no artificial nails, no eyelashes, no wigs, no skin toning. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. Allah has already created you beautiful. So we accept your beauty as you are. May Allah protect all of us.
Ameen. Jazakum Allah khairan.
Abu Amir. Ameen. Ameen. You're welcome. The time is already far spent, but the matter is really, really heavy. Are you feeling the heaviness too, Abu Amir?
Naam, Shaykh. Salaam alaykum wa
rahmatullah. May Allah protect us. Ameen wa yakum. Can we have one more question before we call it a day? We are 18 minutes past the time.
Naam, Shaykh. The question here is, please, how does one make serious tawbah?
The way to make serious tawbah, we have been repeating it and will not stop repeating it. The first thing about tawbah is to stop the sin. A young girl bleaching, a young girl having eyelashes. If you want to make tawbah, the first thing is to do what? Stop bleaching, remove those eyelashes. A girl who has wigs on her head, she wants to make tawbah. The first stage is start losing those wigs. You have a boyfriend, you are going about with. You want to make tawbah. The first thing is to send a message to him to stop every kind of relationship with him immediately. May Allah protect us. The first step to tawbah is to stop the sin immediately. The second step to it is you regret even ever doing it before. Why was I in this thing before? Why will a young girl go about committing zina before? Why? Why will you do that before? What were you looking at before? Were you in your right senses before? Why were you toning before? Why were you wearing wigs before? What were you looking at before? So you regret even ever getting it to it before. That is the second stage. The first stage, you stop it immediately. The second stage, you regret even ever doing it at all. The third stage is to ask Allah to forgive you. Allah, forgive me. Allah, forgive me. Allah, forgive me. And the fourth stage is that you determine that you will never ever go back to it again. You will never go back to it again. This evil that Allah has made me see as evil, I will never do it again. The fifth one is that if it has the right of people, you return their rights to them. If you have people's shoes with you, you stole people's clothes, you stole people's money, you stole people. Something, property belonging to people, you return it to them. If it is from government, you return it to the government account. Go and return it now. Those things can make you be in Jahannam on the day of Qiyamah. That's why, may Allah protect all of us. If it is that you took the life of a person, you see that when you make tawbah, he has gone. There is no way you can return his life to him. So the Prophet told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that on the day of Qiyamah, the man will come to you. His body is oozing in the blood that you killed him. And he will be asking you, he will hold you before Allah. He will be asking you, Limakot al-Tani, what did I do to you that you killed me? So there, that is where your good deeds will be given to him to pay back his right to life that you took. You killed him. So you will get your good deeds given to him. If your good deeds have all been spent, his own sins become heaped upon you. That was why in Al-Ma'idah, when Allah described the two children of Adam, the other one said to him that, if you kill me, antabu abi ithni wa ithnika fatakuna min ashabin nar. Tabu abi ithni wa ithnika. You will carry my sins on your head together with your own sins. The heaviness of these two sins will make you be from the people of Jahannam. فَتَكُونَ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ النَّارِ وَذَلِكَ جَزَاءُ الظَّالِمِينَ. So you see, Tawbah, if it has to do with killing, it's a serious matter. Very serious. But if you are sincere with your Tawbah, maybe Allah will free you on the day of Qiyam. Maybe if you are sincere with Tawbah, if a sin has to do with the rights of people, maybe if you are sincere, Allah will forgive you. He will help you settle those rights on the day of Qiyam, so that you go into Al-Jannah without punishment. Because that one too will happen. Allah will liberate some people, even if they did not even make Tawbah. Not to say some who would have made Tawbah. So some people will still be freed. They will go to Al-Jannah. Maybe because of their sincerity. Maybe because of the dua of their children. Maybe because of one good deed they used to do on the surface of the earth. Allah will look at it and just overlook all these other sins for them. Say, go. Oh Allah, this is what we beg you for. So this is Tawbah. But you can see that Tawbah about Qatlun Nafs is serious. May Allah protect all of us and forgive all of us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you.